You are in the ring with Hector Colon, 7-time national boxing champion turned nonprofit president and CEO. Hector knocks out the big issues facing social services today with high-impact leaders from around the U.S. In the Ring is a creation of Lutheran Social Services of Wisconsin and Upper Michigan and produced by No Studios. And now, here's Hector Colon.
Hello, 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 and welcome to In the Ring with Hector Colon, the podcast that knocks out the challenges facing the social services sector. I am your host, Hector Colon. In the ring with me today is Representative Barb Dietrich. Welcome to the show, Barb.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited. I looked you up and you are a true champion and a fighter, so this is going to be exciting. Barb is a Republican representative of Assembly District 38 from Oconomowoc. She serves on several committees, including those that directly impact social services, children and families, education, health, aging, long-term care, mental health, and substance abuse prevention. She is a Milwaukee native, former financial advisor and small business owner, nonprofit leader for over 16 years. She was the first Wisconsin legislator to sign the Education Freedom Pledge, honored for this in the 2021 with a Common Sense Wisconsin Award. She is a recipient of the National Foundation for Women Legislators in 2019, Woman of Excellence. She authored several bills since her election to the Assembly in 2018, including one recently introduced for school center mental health, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you on that. All right, are you ready for round one?
Oh, I am ready.
Let's go, champ. So how did you get involved in government?
The short answer would be the good Lord pushed me in the ring. The long answer is I ended up doing just citizen advocacy for people with a certain health diagnosis. And so I became really comfortable talking to legislators. I learned they were pretty much just like you and me, the average person. And so when this seat became vacant, I had a number of people who really nudged me to run for office, and the rest is kind of history, as they say.
Well, that's awesome. Well, starting off, when the good Lord calls you, you follow that calling, and that's important. But I know that clearly you have a passion and a clear sense of purpose with all the committees and all the work that you've been doing. So I want to commend you on that, and it seems like you're really enjoying it.
Thank you
for all the great work that you do. Maybe if you could share a little bit about the significant bills that you have worked on over the years. I know you've sponsored many, many things, so you should be very proud of yourself about that. And just share a little bit about your success.
So I would tell people that I see myself really as a public servant in the truest sense. I'm here to listen to people, to hear what their concerns are. So really the significant legislation I've sponsored has been from seeing needs, listening to people, and stepping into those needs. My very first bill signed into law, and I love going to schools and telling students this, was to expand youth apprenticeships for our students, because I want our kids working and living in Wisconsin and enjoying a fulfilling career. So that was one thing I've done that I've really been proud of. Additionally, I had a victims' rights bill that I was really thrilled to have passed, called Cayley's Law. It's known as Cayley's Law last session. And that really gives a victim the right to appeal for a lifetime restraining order against their assailant. Most people don't realize that a restraining order, if you've been sexually assaulted, does not last a lifetime. And this would let you appeal to a judge for that when the case is taken up.
Wow, those are both very good. You know, on the apprenticeship, I used to work as an executive assistant in the Department of Workforce Development, and I was a huge proponent of apprenticeship. because it provides young youth with the opportunity to get some skills and some really good, meaningful jobs. And so I think, well, thank you so much for your advocacy on that. I think that's important. And also, it's high impact for these kids. So thank you. What would you say are the biggest barriers to your work?
Wow, where do I start? That's a challenge. I will tell you one thing that people don't realize about government is that no one person gets to decide everything. You have to work as a team with people. Mm-hmm. And that means working with people in your own political party and across the aisle. And sometimes people across the aisle from you are your biggest barrier, and sometimes it's people in your own party who are the biggest barrier, because they're not picking up what you're laying down. They aren't understanding what you're trying to get across. Or maybe they want a change to it that you feel would maybe negate what you're trying to accomplish. So a lot of times the barriers are just really in trying to get everyone to work together.
Yeah, and I know that that's very difficult because people have different priorities, they have different perspectives, different approaches to working on legislation. So I want to applaud you for your success, because I know it's not easy. You know, one thing I just want to ask you is, you know, out here, you know, in, you know, as a non-politician, many of us are kind of disappointed and upset about the polarization, the divisiveness, maybe amongst both parties, right? And it seems like, you know, more can get done without compromising your core values or your principles. But sometimes the issues at the extreme affects the ability to come to the middle and work on some common sense legislation that ultimately has a great impact on the people of Wisconsin. Do you agree, disagree, or what's your perspective relating to that polarization, that divisiveness, and does it prevent us from doing something great for Wisconsin?
I think that's a fair assessment, and I really get that from the people that I talk to, although you will talk to people that are non-negotiable on both sides. What I try to do when I'm talking about ideas or looking for ideas to bring forward is try and find that sweet spot. I'll tell you, one of my latest bills that's hung up right now in our Senate is closing a loophole on doctor sexual assault. And I worked with Democrat Assemblywoman Lisa Subic on that for Madison, and she and I couldn't be further apart on some ideas.
That's great.
But on this, we're like, oh, we gotta fix this. And so those are the places I love to work, because then we can get something productive done for Wisconsinites.
Thank you. I think that's a good example. I think we need to hear more of that. One person told me there's a lot more that gets passed, and there's a lot more friendships than the public generally is aware of.
Absolutely.
I do hear that. But then I also hear that back in the days, we used to have a drink with each other and our spouses got together. And I'm hearing that not much of that is happening anymore across the aisle. What would you say about that?
I don't know about getting together with spouses, but I will tell you, it's sometimes we get together after things are finished, maybe not as much as in the day. And maybe some legislators are more inclined to that than others. But it is, it's sad. You know, I think you got to choose your hills to die on in government, so to speak. And, some people do want every hill to be a hill to die on. And then you get at a stalemate with each other, and that can be frustrating.
So I'm going to give you a challenge, champ. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Reach across the aisle and have a drink, you know, or get together and let's develop friendships. I think it's all about developing those authentic friendships And again, you don't have to compromise your morals, your values, your stances. I believe it's more than likely there's going to be so many things that you can agree on. So are you ready for that challenge?
Oh, I'm already living that challenge, Hector.
Good. That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Encourage others to do the same thing again on both sides of the aisle. What would you say are your biggest rewards thus far?
Number one, the people. Again, it all goes back to that public service. I think I was just shaped to be a person who serves. Mm-hmm. So I like listening to people. I like working with people. You know, your best ideas in government come from the people you serve, who get a hold of you and say, hey, representative, I'm having a problem with this. How can we fix that? And I love to listen. Mm-hmm. I might not agree with everyone on everything, but here's another thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a challenge right back at you, Hector, and that is civil dialogue. People don't know how to have a conversation without becoming contentious with one another. And I think rather than throwing pejoratives at each other, I like to see, you know, defend your position and say why you think it will work versus the other person's position. And sometimes people come up with legislative ideas and you go, that's a great idea, but here's the challenge with that. And you have to be able to have those conversations. And so I love it. Even people who would not necessarily vote for me, I serve my constituents no matter, you know, what their belief system is. But I do like going into parts of my district and meeting with people who I know don't agree with me, and then seeing where can we find that consensus point.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because what you just described, those civil discourse, authentic conversations, is really what equity, diversity, inclusion is all about. It's about, doesn't mean that we have to think alike, but we can bring our authentic selves and share about how we feel and what our perspectives are. But at the end of the day, you know, I disagree, but hey, I could still be your friend. I could still try to walk in your shoes, have empathy, but we disagree, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think if more DEI came across the way you're describing it right now, Hector, maybe things wouldn't be as fractured as they are.
Sure.
So,
well, I'm writing an article, and I'm going to share it with you, and I hope you'll like it. I think you'll like it, so get ready for that, champ. That's the end of round one. Representative Dietrich, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
In round two, Representative Dietrich and I will talk about the bills that she is sponsoring to address mental health issues. But first, a word from our sponsor, M3 Insurance.
Supporting your employees is more than a paycheck and 401k. It's just a fact. People today are at a higher risk of experiencing mental illness, housing insecurity, and substance abuse. Do you know the health of your employees, your communities? How can you step up your benefits to better address their well-being? M3 Insurance helps businesses see beyond basic benefits and support employees where they live. It's a meet them where they are approach that LSS delivers to their clients every day. M3 and LSS offer real solutions to now commonplace realities that strengthen employees and inspire communities to thrive. Test your employee benefit strategy now by going to m3ins.com.
Are you ready to get back in the ring for round two?
I sure am.
Let's go, champ. So what challenges and opportunities in mental health do you see in Wisconsin and also nationally?
Boy, that's a big question, Hector. And I will tell you, I think the biggest challenge, I guess that's the easiest to get out of the way, is, and this just is just my own perspective, some days I look at what we're dealing with and it feels like I'm digging at a mountain with a teaspoon when it comes to dealing with mental health issues. Especially since COVID, we've seen challenges just grow exponentially. But the opportunities are to integrate some really positive practices and turn people's lives around at an early stage for a more promising future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At an early stage, I think is so important because we know that our system today is so reactive. So for example, we wait for a mental health crisis to happen 17 or 18 years old, and oftentimes it's too late. Or we wait for the children to penetrate the criminal justice system. It's too costly and it's too late. And so getting to these kids and families as early as possible, prevention is I think the way to go. But it's been a little hard to get, politicians and governors to think long term, right? Because your election cycle is short, and sometimes these preventative measures take a while to produce the outcomes and the results. But we know in our sector that we can reduce costs and improve outcomes if we get to children early, which is really a setup for our school center mental health bill that we believe is the right thing to do. It's also the smart thing to do. Again, kids, families, and in a holistic manner the way we do. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the school center mental health bill and why you sponsored it and why you're so passionate about it?
Well, I'm going to give you two answers to that. Number one, just generally, I am a person who is passionate about mental health care. My own family has used mental health care services, and I see it as an opportunity to gain tools in your toolbox for coping. Sadly, we talk a lot about resiliency in this day and age, and we don't, but we're not seeing it with our kids. So what if we could put tools in their toolbox to help them be more resilient when facing crises? Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I would say the reason this legislation really caught my eye is because it engages the entire family. And it doesn't just, the legislation would cover going beyond the school year through the summer months because, your mental health issues don't get a summer vacation. And I'm a big proponent of mentoring in the nonprofit work I did prior to working in the legislature. I served families raising kids with special needs. And what we were the best in the world at was parents mentoring parents because you have to develop that skill set. Nobody can do some of those things that need to be done for you. And so I love mentoring. And one of the things that I think that the legislation I sponsored really does in a way is mentor parents, help them to create a better environment for the mental health of that child.
Yeah, I think that's so component. That's the family coach component of our school center mental health bill that really helps that parent and that family and that entire household. Sometimes parents might have undiagnosed issues and they may need support. And the stronger and the better they are, the better that child is going to be. And we talk about the broader social determinants of health. So are they in an affordable, safe home? And do they have transportation? Are they connected to a medical doctor? And do they eat well? All of those factors, the better we address those issues at the home, the better that child is going to be as well. So thank you for your passion and support, especially for that family coach, because that's the part that's not reimbursable, but that's the key to making sure we can have children and families thrive and address them in a proactive early intervention way that I would say our system's not doing today. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. And I will tell you, when we talk about mental health, a lot of times we talk about the nature nurture component. And listen, if we grew up with maybe a poor role model in parenting, maybe we're not going to have the skills to carry forward mm-hmm. for our own kids. So that family coach, I think, is such a great part of that legislation.
Thank you. Thank you again for being a champion for that. What challenges, if any, do you see with the pilot programs?
Well, again, you have to get buy-in from other people in the legislature, both the Assembly and the Senate, to see what your vision is that you're casting for this. You have to get people to want to try something that's mm-hmm. having success to go ahead and take that risk with public dollars. Mm-hmm. But additionally, this idea, I think will carry over now into the next session. And Lord willing, I'll still be there and shepherding that through. And the more times you have to work on some of this together in the legislature, the better.
Great. And that's the virtue of perseverance, that
there
you don't
you
give
go.
Up, champ.
There you go.
Keep going and fighting for this, because I think it's the right thing to do. And we appreciate your support and your time, because we believe that, again, this is the right thing to do. It's a smart thing to do. And we need more of this. Not only hopefully this starts off as a pilot, but then is able to scale across the state, because it's a great way to get to kids early, using the school as a hub and then also addressing the needs of the family. So thank you. Don't give up, champ.
I sure won't.
We need you, and I'll be in your corner.
I sure won't. And I will tell you also, I find, you know, being a Republican, I'm mm-hmm. a little more pragmatic. I think sometimes mm-hmm. my party, I will say, tries to be penny-wise and is maybe a little pound mm-hmm. foolish. Because to me, when you deal mm-hmm. with some of these situations like mental health on the front side, you're going to pay less on the backside.
That's right.
And you're going to have a functional workforce. You're going to have better communities. So I think it's important.
That's exactly right. Thank you. Thank you so much. That completes round two. In round three, Representative Dietrich and I will discuss her vision for a healthier Wisconsin. Are you ready for the final round?
I'm ready.
All right, champ. Let's go. So what is your vision for school center mental health beyond the pilots that we have in this legislation?
Well, in a perfect world, isn't mm-hmm. that the way the statement always yes. starts? Some of these skills that are learned in things like cognitive behavior therapy mm-hmm. would be tools that we all learned to cope with yeah. situations better, so that educators were more equipped and we could get kids back on track faster. So that's ultimately it. But, you know, I always go back to Hector, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
That's right.
And so
I often say, happy wife, happy life.
There you go. There you go. That's a much more gentlemanly way to say it.
Yes.
But, I think having that health in the home, and it's challenging, you know. We live in a culture where substance abuse is a real challenge, but a lot of times that's self-medicating, you know. So really, to get that health in the home and build healthier families and more just supporting one another instead of living in our little silos. I think that's great for our kids and great for each other. And another reason why I love this school-centered mental health care is how many times we saw this quite a bit, where there was this huge fracture between schools and parents once parents saw everything on Zoom screens. My whole endeavor this last legislative session was really to try and repair those fractures and get schools and families working together again, because mm-hmm. that's something we once really fought for, and I think we need to get back there again.
Oh, the family and that partnership is so important, and so thank you for mentioning that. I think that's a key part of our success with this program. You know, another key part of the program is also providing teacher with tools. Because let's be honest, teachers are overwhelmed. In some cases, they act as the parent or as the counselor or as a social worker, the crisis manager. I mean, they have a lot on their plates as well. So providing them with tools and support is part of the school center mental health process that leads to success for the children, for the teacher, as well as for the family. So again, thank you for your insights. You know, we would love, and we talked about this earlier, that if this program could scale, be in every school in the entire state of Wisconsin, but with the resources available to do that. And so what do you think about Medicaid supporting the family coach aspect? And why don't you share a little bit about that? I mean, that's one thing I would love to see happen, require a Medicaid amendment, but it would be a good use of Medicaid dollars to help with that family coach reimbursement. What do you think?
Yeah, that is always a challenge to see what will be Medicaid reimbursable. But we have moved more. Again, what did I just talk about with substance abuse? Mm-hmm. You know, we're covering more things now through Medicaid with recovery. And so to do it with the family coach, boy, I think is huge. You know, none of us really, parenthood is more caught than taught, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we do what was modeled for us at home, or maybe what we have aspirations of doing someday in our own home. But having that parent coach again mm-hmm. is really a critical piece for those who don't have that skill set. So it might be worth persevering on.
Yeah, definitely. And so I want to join you and in that fight for maybe potential Medicaid reimbursement, you know, reaching out to the secretary, making an amendment to the Medicaid plan. Again, with this early intervention approach that's going to yield better outcomes, reduce costs, you know, in the emergency room, in the criminal justice system, improve outcomes, health and well-being in the classroom, outcomes, get these kids into the workforce. We know we have workforce challenges. Also help the parents, you know, sometimes connect them to opportunities in the workforce and just improve their health and well-being. So school center mental health does all of that. So excited to fight along with you for other funding sources, including Medicaid, to make this sustainable and scalable.
Well, I will tell you, pivoting back to the legislation on the pilot program, mm-hmm. this is the value of a pilot program is yeah. that you can show results yep. with it that validate maybe going down that road towards the Medicaid coverage.
Absolutely. And we hold ourselves fully accountable. We want to make sure that we're producing an outcome. A good outcome in the people we serve. In fact, for us, LSS serves over 30,000 individuals on an annual basis. 96% of those individuals say that we have improved their quality of life, and 97% are satisfied with our services. So we take this very seriously. We also, if we're not doing a good job or producing an outcome, then we think we shouldn't be funded. We wish that government would move towards a value-based approach based on our outcomes, pay us, and pay us better. We would love to work with you on that maybe in the future as well.
I'm all ears.
Great. So how do you think this legislation will play out nationally?
Wow, that's an interesting thought. Again, a lot of people don't know how government necessarily works in their state, but you know, states, other than me getting ideas from my own constituents, states often get ideas from other states. Mm-hmm. saying, hey, did you see what they're doing in this state? And so in that case, you know, replication is how you master success with things and get them to a scalable level. So I can see that happening if we have success with it in Wisconsin.
Great. Well, I want you to be the champion, the national champion,
oh boy,
as it relates to this effort. So I'm behind you. I'm going to be in your corner, okay?
Okay, but I'm not serving in the federal government. Let's just understand that right now.
Sure,
Hector.
Sure. We'll actually talk a little bit about that. I know it's different from your efforts, but do you want to share a little bit about your perspective on federal and state? And
well, I will say one thing I like serving at the state level of government is I feel like I can get things done maybe a little bit more effectively. Mm-hmm. You're closer to the people you serve. Mm-hmm. Whereas the government, I think, boy, it's like, you know, trying to turn the ship. Mm-hmm. And it goes more slowly, which I think is a challenge.
Okay. Great. Well, but you're a fighter, and you can continue to move forward. And it's important to have people like you that are willing to fight, but also willing to listen and hear, and also have those authentic conversations with colleagues that might even differ, have a different opinion than you, but at least you're willing to have mm-hmm. those conversations. I think that's half of the battle.
I agree.
So I appreciate you so much for your willingness to do that, your help with this school center mental health. So we're going to have a lot more opportunities to work together. So I'm excited about our future and working together.
Thank you.
Great. So that's the end of round three. But before I let you go, it's time to see how you roll with the punches.
Oh, boy.
Okay? And do some bobbing and weaving. And try to answer the following questions with the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. What is your dream vacation?
Oh, I've never been to Hawaii. I would love to go.
Oh, that's great. I want to go there, too. That's on my bucket list as well. What occupation other than your own would you like to try?
Believe it or not, I went to college for nursing. I'd go back and give that a try.
Nice. I thought you were going to get excited and say I would be a boxer.
Not in shape for it, Hector. Bless your little heart.
Come on, champ. We'll get you there. We could do it. What song gets stuck in your head easily?
Oh, I don't know. You got me on that one.
Okay. You can come back or you can share that with me later. What book are you currently reading for fun?
Well, I don't know if it's for fun, but I started to say I'm reading a book by Abigail Schreier called Bad Therapy. And okay. I will tell you, while she really challenges child therapy, she does give a good shout out for cognitive behavior therapy, which to me, what I'm gaining from the book is it matters what type of therapy you do with the kids.
Absolutely. I want to read that book too. And I just realized that I forgot that I wanted to bring you a book, my book, My Journey from Boxing Ring to Boardroom, 5 Essential Virtues for Life and Leadership. So I talk about courage, humility, temperance, magnanimity, and perseverance. And so I'll send you a signed copy, and you'll have to let me know what you think.
Good characteristics, Hector.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Final question. What is your game plan for spreading the word about our sector and the needs we discussed today?
Everything that gets done, you may have heard the expression, all politics is local, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a kind of a pithy statement for you can't shortcut personal conversations. Mm-hmm. So I think that is really how we spread the word, is just having those one-on-one conversations with mm-hmm. people and telling story from person to person. Mm-hmm. And that is huge, because you never know who you're going to run into who's like, boy, I really need a resource, or I really wish, you know, something were happening. And you can say, hey, there is something happening.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think it starts with those simple conversations, just like you said.
Yes.
And agree with that 100%. Well, that's it. We're done. How do you think it went?
And I don't have a black eye.
No, you don't. You did great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hector. It was my honor.
As always, you can find all of our interviews on our website, lsswis.org/intheRing. Subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn so you don't miss any important updates and interviews. Also, by doing this, it allows us to spread the word to many out there, so please subscribe and like. Thank you to our sponsor, M3. Con mucho cariño, with much affection. Bye.